Okay, so it looks like I'm the only sucker that's having to present twice at this conference. So I'm going to take off my open access books hat and put on my licensing and negotiation hat on behalf of GIST Collections. And I've been asked to specifically focus on the infrastructure around supporting open access article processing charges, APCs, which I'll call them from now on. So obviously I don't really need to go into the background or provide that much context because Mark gave such a good presentation yesterday about the UK environment for open access. But just to note that obviously we've had the David Willetts speech in May, we've had the RC UK announcement on their policies, and of course we've got the government saying that they're going to be providing funding following the Finch report. And in the UK, I think some of the reports and studies have received mixed reactions. I think that would be quite a fair comment to say. So there's been a huge amount of discussion around the Finch report, which if you're on Twitter and you look at #FinchReport, you'll see much of the comment going on. But there is definitely a consensus that open access is the way forward, it's here to stay, and that we now have to think about the practical arrangements of working with Gold Open Access and the management of those article processing charges. And it's the management of those article processing charges that really do cause many challenges to each of the stakeholders. And I think Regine just gave a really good overview of the institutional ones. In the UK, there's been several reports and studies that have been undertaken specifically focused on article processing charges. Back in 2009, I think it was, the Research Information Network released their report, Paying for Open Access Publication Charges. And that report provided some advice and guidance to all of the stakeholders about some of the challenges and how they might work. Since 2009, GIST Collections itself has been working on behalf of GISC in the UK Open Access Implementation Group, a nice short acronym there, UKOAIG, and we released a final report in 2011. But I would say that that report is very much focused on the hybrid journals and the issues that arise from managing and open access fees for hybrid journals. It has some very practical recommendations and is very much focused on moving and transitioning forward in a transparent and joined-up way, so that making sure that all the stakeholders are talking to each other. And most recently, just in August this year, we had the report from SAGE, which was looking specifically at the role of libraries and how libraries are working to move towards an open access future. So there is certainly a lot of reports, recommendations, and discussion happening around the management of article processing charges. So I'm just going to look very briefly at the perspectives from the UK side of the different challenges that each of the stakeholders are facing. And obviously Mark highlighted many of the reasons why collecting data is so important to the research funders and the research councils. As part of the Open Access Fees project that GIST Collections ran, I did actually interview every single research council, the British Heart Foundation, which is ironically housed in an old tobacco factory, and the Leverhulme Trust, which was, for me, a fascinating experience to go and talk to each of the individual research councils, to go and explore with them what's showing on their websites in terms of guidance for open access, what's in their grant letters, where there is any ambiguity in terms of what the researchers would understand in their grant letters, and also to talk specifically about the hybrid journal situation and compliance with their OA policies. And that process really made clear to me that there were some major issues that the research councils and research funders were facing in terms of, A, just even knowing how much of their funding was being used on open access, and also the fact that there was still quite a high proportion of researchers that weren't aware that open access funds were made available to them. And I think this was all tied up in the fact that in the UK, as Mark mentioned yesterday, you got your open access funds through your indirect costs of your research grants. And there was a real need, I think, for the research councils and the research funders to address that situation and to explore a more effective and simple alternative to providing open access fees to support Gold OA payments. So it is actually very pleasing to hear Mark say that in the UK they are going to be providing institutions with pots of funding, similar to the Wellcome Trust, who at least had some good understanding and idea of the levels of compliance and where their funding was going. So that was a good thing. So there's obviously that real need for the research funders to gather as much data as possible so that they can show impact and to assess the value. For the institutions, again, I think Regine did a great job here, so I don't really need to go into it in that much detail. I think there was a real sense from the librarians in the UK that they were extremely frustrated in managing article processing charges, and said that it was the time and effort it took to manage that and to go through all the different routes of pots of funding within the institution was not really an effective method. We also see that institutions in the UK, if they're going to be given these single pots of funding from the research councils, will need to have to set up accounts with each individual publisher. And again, for the librarians who are going to be managing this process, it's not going to be that simple. They need to deal with multiple authors from different institutions. There's going to be all these new invoices coming through the systems, and there's all these different accounts. But of course, the main thing that librarians in the UK are concerned about is to see that where there's an increase in the amount of OA fees that are being paid to the publishers, there is a commensurate decrease in the amount of subscription income that's coming, fees that they're paying to the publishers as well. So there's a real need for that data to make sure that it's all very transparent. And obviously, publishers themselves, as this, one of the key stakeholders, want to be making those open access articles available. But there was some discussion at a workshop that we ran that they are having to reinvest or invest in new back-end systems to manage these article processing charges. I think Stephen Hall at IOP really made the point that they've had to put significant sums into investing in these back-end systems to run both the subscription and the OA gold process. And of course, there was a lot of discussion in many of the reports about, you know, the balance between subscription and open access article fees. And there is a real wish from the publishers to be transparent. And I think often they get beaten around the head a bit for this perception of double dipping in the hybrid model. But there is a real wish for them to be transparent. But in order to be transparent, they do need to have the data themselves of where the funding is coming from. They need to have the metadata in so they can follow it through, and they need to be capturing it and making sure that they can provide that transparent data back to the institutions and the research funders. I actually stole this slide from my open access monograph project, but really it's just to demonstrate that for authors there's still a relatively high proportion that aren't aware that open access fees are available to them, and that this is something that we have to address within institutions. As an author, if you're going to be doing gold open access and paying those article processing charges, it has to be simple. It has to be a convenient, simple, quick way to deal with it. We see in everything that we do, just entering the name of a UK institution, you get like 7 different variations. So whatever the processes and the systems are, to ensure that you're getting consistent data throughout it, it has to be simple, it has to be convenient, and authors need guidance and advice on how to split fees between different institutions and their authors. One of the main concerns that came up from the library community in the UK when we were talking about open access fees, and again, this is very much focused on the hybrid model, is that their users didn't understand why, when they were going into a journal, one article was behind a paywall barrier and one article wasn't. They didn't quite get that, and they found it a very confusing experience. So I think for readers, as we move into the Gold OA and APCs, we need to be thinking about providing that transparent tagging of the article so they know which ones are gold, why it's gold, and what the licensing terms are around that one as opposed to a subscription one. So, practical solutions. The SAGE report really highlighted some important areas for libraries. And it really just said, you know, that licensing across consortia is a really effective way to ensure that libraries are joined up, they're sharing best practice, that they're reducing overheads, and that they are engaging with all the different stakeholders. So I think there is a clear role in managing APCs in the Gold OA model for library consortia. So just a quick look at how library consortia could help in this area. Well, we could negotiate and manage those consortia agreements on behalf of our members. So I'm speaking with my library consortia of Disc Collections hat on, but other library consortia across Europe and the world could do the same and are doing the same. We can negotiate discounts on the article processing charges where there's membership in place. We can do our librarians a favour by reviewing the legal agreements on behalf of them, and we do this in Disc Collections on the subscription side as well. You know, we're making sure that the agreements are in line with UK law, that they meet the requirements of the institutions, they're meeting accessibility requirements on all those sorts of things. And we can work with publishers to ensure that the licensing is clear to the end user and that we're developing standards to tag and identify open access articles. So hot off the press, Disc Collections has just negotiated with Wiley for an agreement on behalf of all of our UK higher education institutions. And there's two options in the Wiley agreement. Wiley open access accounts, where the institutions prepay Wiley and they are provided discounts on the APCs based on the deposit, and also a combined consortia discount. And also a second option, where through the consortia element, they get an annual flat fee based on their GIST band and they get discounts on the article processing charges. So this is just one example of where library consortia can work on behalf of all of their institutions to try and make the management and processing of article processing fees a lot cheaper and a lot more effective. Again, hot off the press, the email went round to our members yesterday that we have concluded agreement with Simon's Open Access Key, where we have a small discount off the subscription fee that we've negotiated on behalf of our members, and that we have reviewed the OAK terms and conditions of use. So again, looking to make sure that it complies with UK law. OAK, as you know, is a relatively new service, but they've done extremely well in providing an infrastructure to support the payment of article processing charges. And although this isn't the normal type of agreement that Disc Collections would do, we would mainly focus on subscription or licensing agreements for content, we think that it's important that as a consortia, we are looking at different ways to support libraries in managing and processing article processing charges. But I would say Disc Collections itself tries to remain relatively independent. So although we have an agreement with Open Access Key, it's potentially not the only process or way that will arise for managing APCs. And in fact, in our report back in 2011, we suggested to JISC and the Open Access Implementation Group that they should also be talking to the subscription agents, they should be talking to other parties, and really exploring if there are, you know, and evaluating the alternatives and methods and infrastructure there to support APCs. The other area where I think library consortia might play a role in the move to open access fees and gold is that as new entities come onto the market, there is a sense that the institutions may not have full trust of those new entities. They do trust in their library consortia because they have, you know, they're trusted independent parties. So perhaps there is a role for somebody such as Disc Collections or other library consortia to help those institutions manage their funds. And by doing it through the library consortia, instead of institutions having to have one central pot and accounts with every single publisher, they could just go through the central methodology, and then the library consortia, perhaps in association with a platform such as OAK, could be working to do and manage the process of APCs on their behalf. Somebody should have had bingo for APCs during my talk. And the last point I would just say about library consortia is that obviously we are there doing the negotiations and licensing on behalf of our members. So we need to be able to gather as much data as possible to help in our negotiations. Our library members are pushing us to ensure that as the APCs and charges go up, the subscription fees go down, which is not a simple thing to manage at all. And that's why I thought it was interesting that Selva said that there's like the whole document, half of it's dedicated to working out the link between the subscription and the APCs. And the publishers that we've spoken to have clearly articulated to us that it's not a simple process, that there is a lot of factors that that are involved in working out that balance in terms of, you know, UK, international perspectives and all of that. And so as library consortia, we do need to have access to data. We need to know what our members are spending money on, how many articles have been published, the total sum for our consortia, and we need to be able to use a centralised infrastructure to provide that. So, in summary of my very quick talk, I think that library consortia have a key role in supporting our library members in working collaboratively with publishers and with different stakeholders and research funders to ensure that there is a centralised infrastructure, that effort is not being duplicated several times, and that we have a clear, transparent and effective method of managing article processing charges in a Gold OA environment. Thank you. And for any of you that know this little character here and you know his theme tune, then you'll understand why I put his picture there. You have to ponder that one.